Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is the director of the Holy Cross Retreat Center in Mesilla Park, Father Tom Smith, a Franciscan member for over 40 years. Thank you for joining us on Puentes.
You're most welcome, Emily. Good to be here.
You're welcome. Tell us why you became a Franciscan, and then we'll talk about Holy Cross Retreat Center, how long you've been here.
Sure. I grew up in a Catholic family in Indiana, and we attended a Catholic school. And there I learned a little bit about Franciscan life and other kind of religious life. After I finished eighth grade, I went to what's called a high school seminary, minor seminary nearby my family's home, and learned more about Franciscan life. Following that, had some time in college, and I began to really appreciate the gift of the Franciscan spirituality or charism. That is a gift of a person who followed the gospel very clearly, who wanted to live a simple lifestyle, St. Francis of Assisi in the 1200s in Italy, and then one who shared a real joy in life that many people have experienced. And I said, I want to be part of that. That's something that resonates with my own personal life because we live in community and we have that sense to share the joy with others. So I professed vows as a Franciscan in 1975. And then in 1979, was ordained as a Catholic priest. And so I've been serving in parishes and in retreat centers and in various other capacities since that time.
And how long have you been in the Las Cruces area?
I've been here for 4 years. Came in 2010 and just found out recently I'll be staying another 4 years.
Well, congratulations. And tell us about the Holy Cross Retreat Center. The building is over 100 years old.
Yes, in 1912, a man named Frank Monahan came with his family from California looking for a place of dry climate, I think for his health, and built a large, I guess you call it hacienda, on what was then nearby the Rio Grande. The Grande has since moved to another area, but he built a large house there, a 14-room house, and he and his family and some descendants lived there for a number of years. The last part of those were some of the members of the Fountain family from this local family here. And then in 1954, they were ready to move because there are only two left in this big house. And Bishop Metzger from Texas, El Paso, Texas Diocese, wanted a place for a retreat center. So he asked about buying it.
Tell us what a retreat center is.
A retreat center is a place where people can go either as a group or as an individual for their own personal spiritual renewal, which is the focus of it primarily, and mostly in our case Catholic, although we have many different religious traditions who come there. Or it could be also a smaller group or an individual who's just looking for some quiet time, for rest, and for spiritual growth. We also have groups, nonprofit groups, like the New Mexico State University. Various departments come over there for planning days especially, or to organize the next year. We have individuals who come there to write, to paint. Today we had a group of people there painting. They like the atmosphere and they came to do that. And then we have other people who come as a place of rest and refuge in a sense because they need healing. We have for many years offered a place, a free room and board to cancer patients who are outside the Las Cruces area, who find it difficult to pay all the cost of medicine and taking off work. And so we give them a place to stay and a place to eat while they're receiving treatment in Las Cruces. In many ways, the Holy Cross Retreat Center is what I see as an oasis in the desert. I come from the Midwest, where there's lots of rain and lots of trees and lots of greenery. And I moved into the desert, which was quite a different experience. And yet, where we live, we have several wells. So we have 90 acres of property with over 60 acres of pecan trees. So that creates a nice atmosphere around us. And the people who come there said, oh, it's so tranquil, it's so beautiful, and fairly quiet as well. And, you know, it provides a remote space for them. But then it also has, I think, a place for us, not just a physical kind of oasis where there's flowers and yards and trees and that kind of things, because some people just have rocks in their yard. But also it has a very spiritual and personal dimension. For people whose lives are dry or who are struggling or who are seeking, not necessarily having any real problems, but they're seeking for something deeper in life. And there are lots of people in that in the world. You know, people who just say, I think I want a little bit more out of my life. How can it be better from a personal point of view or from a spiritual point of view? And so, for instance, we have a group of meditation people who come there, somewhat Buddhist style meditation, and they come sometimes once a month. and spend quiet time and meditate and talk with and listen just to give themselves a center, a calm, peace. We have other people who come and love to sing. And so they might be 80 or 90 people there who spend a lot of time singing and rejoicing and praising. It varies. We have both English and Spanish speaking people come. We live here in the borderlands. And I would say 40% of the people who come there and individuals or groups speak Spanish and prefer that. We have this in weekends where they have 80 or 90 people, sometimes even 100 will come and do that. But the idea is to give people a sense of how they can find a real richness to life. Because I think that our life is more than just doing the job. It's more than just caring for the responsibilities that we have. It's how to find some depth there that gives us a real peace.
So do you provide some of the classes yourself? Do you give talks?
It is a combination. I lead retreats or talk with people individually. Probably have at least one retreat a month on some Franciscan theme or some spiritual prayer theme and advertise those to people so whoever wants to come is welcome to do so. I talk with people what's called spiritual direction, where they come and sit and talk about their life, where it's going and how they feel God is calling them or if they need to make a decision, meet with them maybe once a month. And so I think that's another dimension to it as well. But it's also to help people to recognize that we want us to live life fully and not just to kind of go day to day. And a retreat is in some sense pulling back. I mean, people think of that in a military sense or whatever, you know, I gotta get back, I'm in danger. This is not necessarily a military, obviously, but it's a retreat in a sense of a withdrawal from the normal responsibilities of a person's life to be renewed and strengthened, whether it's professionally or personally or spiritually, and then to return to their life. It's not a place where people come and spend the next 2 months or 2 years, other than those of us who live there, but it's a way for people to renew their own life. And I think that's something which many people find very rich and important.
So you provide housing for cancer patients that's free of charge, but you do have to be able to support the center. So you do charge for the events and for some business planning. And
right. Most of the time when people come, we ask if they're able to provide a payment for a room for the night. Or if there's one room, or if there's two people or three people who share a room, it's less expensive, obviously. And then also for the meals. We have a very fine cooking staff, group of ladies who love to cook. And so they prepare very fine meals that people enjoy. And we want people to know that this is the richness of what we have to offer. But yeah, they usually pay for those. And that allows us then to continue to improve and to renovate the retreat center.
Well, you're having a new renovation, a new chapel being built. Talk to us about the chapel.
Yeah, this is a plan that's actually been on the books since the first buildings were built in 1956 and 57. There was a plan for a large chapel, but it never happened for some reason. And then through the years, everybody once in a while would say, oh, we need a large chapel. And then they'd think about it for a while. Oh, that's hard to raise the money or it's hard to do. And they go back to normal. Now, we have a small chapel, what we call a Kiva chapel, which is very prayerful, but it only holds about 25 people. Beyond that, it's pretty crowded. So we're now building one which will seat up to 200 people. We have raised the money, at least for the first phase of that, and it's about halfway constructed right now. And it's very exciting. It's going to have some big vigas in it. It's going to have a Southwestern style in the front of it with a bell up in the top and the stucco and the red tile roof like the rest of the building, so it'll fit in. But then it also has a real welcoming sense once you step inside with the holy water font and the places for sacraments and a big cross. And so I think it's going to be a very welcome event.
Well, something that's been going on for a few years now is coming up at the end of August, August 30th and the 31st, the Art Festival. Many people locally look forward to attending that. Tell us about the Art Festival coming up.
Yes, a man named Father Marcos Reyna was a director in the early 90s, and he was an artist himself, or is an artist, and he started inviting other artists to come and had a festival for 6 or 7 years. And then it was a hiatus for several years. And again, in 2005 or 4, I believe it was, Father Miguel Briseño, one of the directors, started again. And we invite local fine artists to come. And they rent a booth, a space 10 by 10 or more if they want. And they provide their own artistic designs for people to look at and hopefully to buy as well. And so we have over 80 artists that come each year for this. We also have a silent auction of things that they have provided. We have a raffle. We have various kinds of food, and including a very special enchilada dinner with all the rice and the beans and the whole bit, which lots of people enjoy. And then we have two live music stages, one that's in the center of the courtyard where the musicians are, or where the artists are, and another one in a beer garden. Beer and wine garden that we have under the shade trees.
Oh, so you do have beer and wine then?
Just the last couple of years. Yeah. And it's not meant to be a major focus, but it is a part of it for people who want to come and just to sit for a while. As someone told me once, he says, sometimes a couple comes and one is interested in the art and the other is not so much interested. But if they have someplace they can go and sit for a while, you go over there and you wander around the art, I'll be fine right here. Come and get me when you finish. I'll be in the beer garden, you know, the wine, they're sipping a little wine, which is delightful. And so we have that during the day. And then on Saturday, August 30th this year, it will continue until 8 o'clock in the evening. So to be able to out of the sun and be able to rest a little bit in the evening and continue with the live music.
And then on Sunday the 31st, how late is it open?
On Sunday the 31st, for those who are interested, we have an outdoor mass at 9 o'clock. And then as on Saturday, it begins at 10 o'clock in the morning. The art booths are opened until 5 o'clock both days. And then on Sunday at 5, we have a drawing for the raffle, and then we close shortly after that.
So that's something to look forward to at the Holy Cross Retreat Center, which is down Mesilla Park, past Tortugas.
Yes, you take Main Street. It's about 2 miles south of University Avenue, and on the left-hand side, just past Carver Road, about a half mile. It's a long private driveway. It gets back off the road. 600 Holy Cross Road is the address of it.
And how many priests or Franciscan friars live at the retreat center year-round?
There are 5 of us who live there, and we serve in different capacities. I work at the retreat center as the director. Another one is a pastor of Tortugas Parish, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Another man works for the hospice of Mesilla Valley. Another person is promoting vocations for the Franciscans, and then also the campus minister at UTEP in El Paso. So we have a variety. We've had retired men who live there with us as well.
So a lot of the things that you do aren't just there on the property. You just came back from a pilgrimage, I understand?
Yes. The last 2 years, I've taken a group of people to visit the early Franciscan missions in New Mexico. I grew up in other places, and they don't talk about New Mexico as the early history. The history I learned started on the East Coast in Massachusetts or Jamestown or whatever. Whereas actually, the people coming up from Mexico came into New Mexico long before that, 20 years, 30 years before. And so I've learned a lot about Juan de Oñate, and when he came in 1598 and with a group of people, settlers, to be here, and how they came through the Las Cruces in El Paso area and then traveled up north to beyond Santa Fe, a place near Española, and founded the early missions. And the Franciscans, whom I heritage, were along with them. And so what I've done is take people up to visit some of those early missions in a place called Okeowingue, which is a native pueblo right near Española, San Francisco de Asís Parish in Rancho de Taos, San Jerónimo's mission in the Taos Pueblo, which is over 1,000 years inhabited. And these are places that where the Franciscans and people of the church has been for over 400 years. You know, it's a long, long heritage, and I find it just fascinating. So we would stop and visit at each place, have someone talk with us. We'd pray in those places or listen to them tell the stories. And then we came back down to Santa Fe, of course, and the cathedral and Santuario de Guadalupe, San Miguel, which is one of the oldest churches there. Beautiful places. Also learned about the martyrs of the Franciscans. In 1680, there was what's called a Pueblo Revolt, where some of the people who had been, they felt forced to abandon part of their Native American culture, resisted that, and pushed out the Spanish colonists and also the Franciscans. They saw that as part of that. And there were 21 Franciscans who lost their life. And so there's a memorial to them located in Santa Fe. And yet after a number of years, they came back as a peaceful reconquest, recognized they can't impose, but they want to respect the Native American culture. And so it's been much different since then. And also down in Albuquerque area, a place called Isleta and Socorro, which are also in El Paso, Texas area. During that revolt, some of the people moved from there down south where it was safer, and they still have the connection. So it's my goal is to help people experience a sense of our tradition and our faith, not just locally on the property, but in other places. So I do this pilgrimage once a year. I go to other churches or other parishes to give presentations or lead retreats, Silver City, Deming, various places in El Paso, as well as other states even, you know, where I try to share the same message. So the mission is not just on the property, but goes beyond that. It's focused there, but it goes beyond that as well.
What do you see the future of getting new friars coming in, new Franciscans? You said that one of the purposes of one of your friars was for a vocation.
Right.
As a vocation.
Actually, we're very encouraged. We have several young men in the area who have expressed interest. One from the El Paso area joined our Franciscan community this fall. We have two more very clearly interested for next year, and another three or four who have expressed interest and join us for different events. I am hopeful. You know, certainly we are an aging community in one sense, and we look for that. But it's something that I believe in, and I believe that most of us seek a direction in life. And what is it that either God is calling to us to be, or what is it that gives us most enrichment in our life? And I think part of what Holy Cross Retreat Center does is gives people that space to step away from their normal responsibilities and to reflect on their life. What's really most important to me? And is it just paying the bills, or is it also recognizing that creation is there to be appreciated and respected, that God has a mission for me to share the joy and the healing of the gospel, that maybe I'm called to service in some sense, whether it's temporary or whether it's a lifelong service. And so actually we're encouraged to see the response to the people in the area for now and looking forward to that continuing. And that's good for us. That's very good. It's enlivening for me, to tell you the truth.
So has it been difficult to get people to join the Franciscan Order or just to become a priest?
Through the years, it has been tough. Up until about 30 or 40 years ago, there were a number of vocations, and then they kind of changed through the years, and there's lots of reasons why that is. I don't know. There seems to be a resurgence. There seem to be more people now considering that, both men and women, considering religious life, and not just within the Catholic tradition, but within other traditions as well. And I think that the Franciscan charism is something that's very rich. For instance, we have a new pope, Pope Francis. And even though he's Jesuit, he has chosen the name of St. Francis of Assisi as his patron and helps make that sense of simple living, of care for the poor and the needy, of respect for the environment, of working for peace. You know, that Pope Francis believes that it's not just, that's all those people in another country. I don't know. As long as it doesn't bother me, I'm not worried about it. St. Francis of Assisi himself walked to Egypt to try to resolve the conflict between the Arabic people and the Crusaders. Wasn't successful, but he kept trying. And we're doing the same today. And so I think it calls all of us to recognize that we have both a local responsibility to live peaceably and to respect the environment, since Francis is the patron of ecology, but then also to help us promote that view among other people. Holy Cross Retreat Center helps do that because it is a peaceful, prayerful place, because we have 90 acres where people can enjoy that, and because we help promote a sense of respect for other cultures and other peoples.
And so in learning more about the Franciscan way of life, they can attend the Franciscan Festival of Fine Arts. That's Saturday, August the 30th, and Sunday the 31st, with 80 artists, live music and food, beer and wine, silent auction and raffle. And that's at Holy Cross Retreat Center, 600 Holy Cross Road in Mesilla Park. You have a website?
Actually, we have two. We have one for the retreat center called holycrossretreat.org, which gives a lot of information and pictures and a schedule of all the events and retreats and lots of information there itself. And then we have another called franciscanfestival.org, Franciscan Festival, which focuses on this art festival itself and has background and forms and that kind of stuff there. Then we welcome people to come. You know, if you want to come just on your own as an individual, or if you'd like to come with a group of people, just give us a call, let us know, and we'll be happy to have you.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on Puentes. You're being a bridge to the community. Father Tom Smith, director of Holy Cross Retreat Center in Mesilla Park.
You're most welcome. Good to be with you today, Emily.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.